blessed be His holy name tonight. Thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness. Oh, You're worthy of all praise, Heavenly Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Blessed be the one true living God. Hallelujah. You love Him tonight? I said, do you love Him tonight? Amen. Much better. Hallelujah. It's good to be in God's house. It's good to feel His presence here with us and know that no matter what happens in the world, He promised He'd never leave us, never forsake us. I'm glad to know that's true now more than ever. Amen. Amen. A world that's falling apart, I thank Him that I've still got my mind. I haven't lost off the deep end. I did to myself, but I found the mind of Christ, so I'm doing all right. Amen. When we get battered and beat every which way, we're led as sheep to the slaughter, but we've got a great shepherd. And He watches us and takes care of us, and I'm grateful for that tonight. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn right to 1 Thessalonians 2 again tonight. Sure appreciated Sunday with all my heart. Appreciate each one of you. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, sometimes I think we ought to just look around and really let it sink into our hearts. These are the children of God. You know, we got to get past what we think of one another, what we think of ourselves, and go to what the Word of God said. And you know, there's many things we all could, if you're honest with yourself, you can look and say, man, Lord, I need help. I need help. And there's plenty of people who are willing to say, yeah, that brother needs help. But that ain't what we need, brother, sister. That ain't how you help that anyways. The only way to get out of it is to believe what God said. Amen. He that begun a good work in you is faithful to finish it to the end. Amen. This Sunday, remember, it's Easter service. We're going to have church order. Pray for me. Got a lot. I might have to paraphrase, and you just have to take my word for it, because I just really believe in setting the ship right the first time. Amen. And I don't like to leave questions. I'll say like this. The Word of God itself doesn't give us a whole lot of what to do to run a specific service. So that does leave a lot. Even when Paul set up communion, he said, the rest I'll set in order when I come. So there was, and I believe that's because God knew that each church had specific needs and had to be dealt differently. Every church is sovereign. But I believe God has sent us a message in this day to give us a direction to go. And as much as we can follow that, we will. There's certain things we probably can't do just exactly the same, because we're not the same church as Jeffersonville. We're a different group of people. I'll say this, though. If it comes down to a matter of opinions, between your opinion, my opinion, or whoever, I don't really care. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm taking Brother Branham's. Amen. Hope that's okay with y'all, but I just really believe this message with all my heart. Brother Branham said, if you haven't learned, he said he'd been preaching 30 years. So if you haven't learned anything by now, you might want to quit doing what you're doing. He said, and really, you know, men want to, I've had to be there before. Well, I think we ought to do this. And I'm sitting there saying, Brother Branham didn't say to do it that way. And as much as I appreciate brothers, and if there's any ministry that had success, it was Brother Branham. Right. And is there any church that moved in the right power of God in the right direction? It was his church. And I'd like to follow that example. If you disagree with me, well, first pray about it. Oh, no, we got quiet real fast. No, know that I'm still a man, and I have to make choices. Right. And I have to, there has to be a head somewhere, or it's just chaos. So there will be certain things that come down to, well, that's just the way Brother Andrew wants to do it. That's the way it's going to be. And I ask you to respect that. And if you're not able to be there Sunday, yeah, even visitors and things, or people that might make this their home church, I want everyone to listen to that at some point so they know why we do what we do. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things for your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they pleased not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sin alway. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. I'd like to preach tonight on our crown of rejoicing. Our crown of rejoicing. Let's bow our heads before the Lord with hearts full of faith, knowing that He promised to be with us tonight, and He's still the same God He ever was. Do you have a need you'd like to lift up to the Lord? Ask in faith, nothing wavering, you'll receive of the Lord tonight. Let's invite the presence of God as we approach His Word. Heavenly Father, we come to You in the name that You told us to come. There is no other name that we must be saved by but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come in that name tonight through the blood that He shed for us that makes us clean. We pray the blood over our lives first, Lord. Wash us, cleanse us, take us away from anything of unbelief, that we would come into Your courts boldly to the throne of grace and receive the need that we have in this hour. It's a desperate hour, Lord. The world's falling apart. But we thank You that we have a place of refuge. We thank You for a place to hear the Word of God. Lord, we pray that tonight You'll help us by Your Spirit to redeem the time, to not take these things for granted, but to know that soon and very soon they might lock the doors, Lord. We might be scattered all across the world and never see each other again. Father, let us look up to heaven tonight, that we're in a predestinated moment of God and that You've poured out blessing upon blessing on us, Lord. Let us have a heart full of faith to receive it. Heal every sickness that's here. Restore every soul. Restore the backslidden. Restore the sick. Bring every heart back where it ought to be with You. And we'll be careful to give You the praise, knowing it's nothing a man could do. It's nothing a church could do. It's only what God Almighty could do. Come, Father. Have Your way in this service. Speak from heaven. Let us hear with open arms, for we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 You may be seated tonight. As we open up the Scriptures, Paul is speaking to the Thessalonians. He says, "You brethren became followers of the church of God, which is in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus." And he begins to lay out that becoming a follower of Christ, if you're really following the Lord, ain't easy. It ain't easy, brother, sister. You've got plenty of adversity, and that a lot of times we think that means we've missed the mark when people reject us or get upset or get mad. Brother, sister, that's probably the best sign you're finally doing something right, because the devil, if you're not on the devil's side, he's coming after you. That's the best sign. I look how Brother Bram said it. He said, "Well, the devil's after me." Brother Bram said, "Good, that means you're still one step ahead of him." Amen. Amen. And I want him after me all the time, so I know that I'm always one step ahead of him. Because if we start getting easy, we start getting light, we begin to realize that we drop down into a Laodicean spirit. We drop down into apathy. We drop down into we become Calvinists to the max. Whatever will be, will be. And God knew I'd make that mistake. Yeah, He knew Moses would smite the rock the second time and not go to the promised land. But I'm sure Moses, if he had a choice, he'd go back and say, "I oughtn't have done that, brothers." Amen. Some people glory too much in the sin that you did that God used in His permissive will to bring you back. But brother, sister, there was a better way. Amen. Amen. That's right. The perfect will of God is the way we ought to go. I thank God for His grace, because we've went the permissive will far too many times. It's about like heading to Napoleon, but going west. Oh yeah, you'll get there, but you better bring a boat. You better get an airplane. You better pack your bags, because you're getting ready for a trip. The permissive will of God is not the way you want to go, brother, sister. Amen. And we look at our rejoicing. Paul rejoiced at these, because he said you've suffered like we have, but yet you still believe. Yet you're still holding on. Yet you're not giving up. And he said, I'd love to just be able to come see you. But I just can't do it. So Satan's been hindering us. And I love how he says it. He says, it's been a short time. We love to be in your presence, but we just can't be with you. We've been departed, but not in heart. And I believe that's where the church really needs to get to. That no matter if we can't be together, we can't fellowship maybe necessarily, something in our hearts that yields us back together. It's the love of God that brings us to one body in Christ. That no matter where you are, I still care about you. I still not worry so much, but I'm concerned. I want to know what's happening with the people of God. Amen.
Praise God.
And Paul really wanted to see these, because what did he say? He said, "You're our crown of rejoicing. You are the reason we get happy. Amen. You're the reason we can raise our hands and praise God. Because though, you know, Brother Bram said, if I got to preach to four walls, I'll preach to four walls, four posts. But God sends the word, somebody's going to receive it. Amen. He said it this way. He said, God can do more with five in his hand than he could with 500 out of his hand. Yeah. But he said, we appreciate 500 in his hand. Yeah. Amen, brother, sister. I know that there's always a little group. Jesus said, fear not, little flock. But I'm telling you, we shouldn't be trying to push people out. We should be trying to push them in. Yeah. Hallelujah. We got too many churches that rejoice about selfish stuff, brother, sister. Is your rejoicing because you feel good today? Uh-oh, is your rejoicing because you got a pay raise or things came easy? You know, and that's okay to bless God for that. But that's not the crown of rejoicing that Paul was talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. When it came to what really thrilled Paul's heart, none of those things even showed up. Amen. Hallelujah. The ministry is sent to serve the people. Yeah. And not the other way around. Amen. And the ministry in you is to serve the people. Amen. And not the other way around. Amen. Paul even warned of this. It's in Romans 16, 17. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. We just kind of like to go ahead and brush that one off. It's still in there anyways. Amen. It's the word of God. Now watch. Why did he say this? He says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, and yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Let me read you another one. 1 Peter 5:1. I think this is fitting to follow ordination right in the church order. That's why I'm going this right a little bit. 1 Peter 5:1 says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Amen. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Why? Because the real ministry, the real rejoicing of a God-sent ministry is people believe the word that's being preached and it changes lives. It doesn't just come in one ear and out the other and then they come by and say, oh my, that was a mighty good message, brother. Sure, appreciate you. And there's a lot of men who, as long as that happens, they feel pretty good. But I'm only satisfied when the ministry of the word of God gets past ears, gets past feelings, and it gets into a heart of a man and a daughter of God, a son of God, and it changes them. Yes, amen. Changes them beyond what the words of a man can. Amen. Hallelujah. Takes out that stony heart that wouldn't move and gives them a heart of love. Amen. Hallelujah. Too many ministers want to be lords over God's heritage. They like to govern what happens in the church and in a way that brings division. In a way that they rejoice in. Well, we had a lot of shouting today. Shouting's good. Well, that ain't worth rejoicing over just yet. You can hear monkeys shout. Well, I got chill bumps. I think I heard a minister say it one time. He said he's watching that whale movie. I mean, the whale jumps over the kid's back. Oh, somebody's got Free Willy. That's what it is. You know, y'all ain't too old yet. But comes over his back and it had this real slow motion scene. This preacher one time said, I got chill bumps watching that. That's just inspiration, brother, sister. That don't have nothing to do with being the word of God. There's some things you can watch and get real inspired, but if the inspiration ain't coming from the word, then you don't know where it's coming from. But if the word of God comes across the pulpit, if the word of God comes across the tape, if the word of God comes across your heart and that begins to thrill you, you know where that inspiration came from. It ain't come from the devil. The devil's scared to death. You're going to get inspiration just from the word. Because once you have that, he's got nothing. Glory to God. When Job hit that strand of inspiration in the pit and God came down in the whirlwind. Oh, Oh, he said, I was all upset before, but I said things I oughtn't to, but I know I'm where I need to be now because I heard about it. But now I see it. And we've heard about a bride. It's time for us to see it. Hallelujah. Whew. We got a job to get done, and it needs to be done. Not grudgingly. Not of constraint. Well, some people do that coming to church. Well, if I don't go, Brother Andrew will preach about going to church. I'll have to endure a whole service about it. And I know he's just preaching on me the whole time. Not looking around and realize that there's a lot of times where this church needs to hear that. It ain't one, it ain't the other. It's the ministry to feed the flock. You want me to not preach on missing church? Guess what you need to do? Don't miss church. Just like the man that kept preaching on repentance said, you gonna preach anything else to get the people to repent? Well, I got all kinds of other sermons. That's right. Now, we don't need lords. We don't need lords out there either. We don't need 12 assistant pastors. What do we need? We need people that care. That's real crown of rejoice. I often wonder many times what makes Christians excited. And more than anything, I realize it's just if something happens to them. If they get a blessing. If they rejoice. If they can move in the Spirit of God. If they're the ones preaching and not somebody else. Some of the worst pollers I've ever seen are preachers. Oh, we got quiet, but it's true. Goodness gracious, they'll get up there and just hammer you for not saying amen just every time they sneeze. But when somebody else is preaching, all of a sudden you can't even find them. Lord says that's wrong because that's the Lord. That's, well, you're just a little peon laity. You're supposed to amen. I'm a dignified minister. Hallelujah. Maybe you haven't seen that spirit, but I've seen it quite a bit. That ain't what God sent the ministry for. That ain't a minister. That's a Lord. A minister is a servant. And a real servant ain't worried about what you think about it. They're going to do what's right because it needs done. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me read you a quote on that day at Calvary, 1960. It says, well, I tell you, Brother Branham, we are Christians here. We help these people. We help them people. Oh, my, shame on you. That's not Christianity. Christianity is just automatically, it's got to be done, and you just forget about all about, go do it. Christ just completely surrendered his life to God. He gave himself as a public servant to the people. He gave his life freely. He didn't have to do it. He didn't begrudgingly do it. He didn't say, now, brother, y'all ought to think a whole lot of me because I come to die for you. He never said a word about it. He died anyhow because it was God in him. It's God in you. It's God in me that makes us look at others. He talks about the sheep and the goats now. He says, sheep on one side. One of them say, well, Lord, I did this and Lord, I did that. He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never even knew you. If the church can ever come to the fundamental facts that it's not something you try to do, you work yourself up to do, it's something that's born in you. Said, forgive me, my Pentecostal friends. I am Pentecostal, but my Pentecostal friends has got to a spot to where there has to be a lot of fast music, beating of some bands or clapping hands or tambourines to bring up a shout. That's only emotions. They play the bands before they go to the battle to get people in the motion of battle. I believe in music. I believe clapping of hands, and I believe in these things. That's exactly true. We ought to have that, but you have left the great things undone. Is that self-sacrifice life that God lives in you, automatically doing that which is right because it's right. Amen. Just going on. Don't even think nothing about it. It's just living it. Right. Then watch. You see what's going on? You're on the highway. That's what Calvary meant to you. On the highway. Opened up that day for you. Now remember, you cannot be half goat and half sheep. They won't mix. Now, there's a lot of people say, yes, you know what? We got an organization in our group. We help the poor. We do this. That's all right. But you're tooting your own horn about it. You don't do that. You do your alms in secret. Jesus said, just automatically something to you. It's no more than going and getting a drink of water. You're thirsty. If the next man's thirsty, you think about him too. The next man's needs, you think about him the same as your own needs and don't pay attention to it. Just live on. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what these Thessalonians were talking about. This is what Paul said. He said, you've received the life. You've had adversity come against you, but you're just doing what the word said anyways. You ain't worried about somebody else's approval. You ain't worried about even your own approval. Paul said it before. He said, we didn't come looking for your records of written. I can't say that word. Thank you, brother. But, we appreciate you, brother. You're so great. You're so wonderful. And those are good things to have. But if that is your record for your salvation, you are lost. Amen. Hallelujah. We have one Lord. We have one Master. We have one Judge. And His name will not change. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have one High Priest. We have one man that can come to earth, not sin, lay down His life, and pay the penalty of death. He's never asked any of us to do it. And His life that was there, that was lived out, the perfect man, the perfect Son of God, now has been transferred by the baptism of the Holy Ghost into every believer. Amen. Quit trying to be it and just be it. Amen. Hallelujah. I always wonder about people trying to serve the Lord. What do you mean trying to serve the Lord? I'm just trying the best I can. Quit that. Amen. You don't try, you die. Amen. Let me say that again. You don't try to serve the Lord, you die so the Lord can live through you. Jesus, this is why the Trinitarians can never grasp why we don't believe in the Trinity. Because when Jesus came, He was all man. He was. He had to endure like you and I, or how could He be a faithful high priest? How could He say He could have sympathy? How could we say that we have a high priest that could be touched by the feelings of our infirmities unless He went through the same thing you and I did? So God allowed His Son, His body that He dwelt in, to be made like sinful flesh. So Satan could come and try to tempt Him. So He could feel pain. So He could feel sorrow. To where we could see His friend die, He would start to cry. When He'd get hungry, when He'd get tired, He'd go to sleep. Hallelujah. Why? And they focus on that. But God had to do that to prove to the devil that you could live this life, even in Satan's Eden. And in that same body there, God has brought up another body. It's taken Him church ages to bring it to pass. But here we are. We are the antitype to every type. We are God's masterpiece. You are what He was trying to create from the beginning. Don't you limit the life of God. It's the same thing that walked the shores of Galilee. It's the same thing. I was asleep in the back of the boat. And they woke Him up. I said, Master, don't you care we perish. Pastor, don't you care? I asked you to pray for me. What do you get up? He says, where's your faith? Uh-oh, getting on the pastor again. Here we go. You prayed, brother, but I don't feel no different. Where's your faith? Right. Oh, it was in a man. That's why you didn't get none. But if you recognize who you are, as a son of God did, He woke. What are y'all worried about? Put His foot right on the rail of the boat? Peace be still. All right, I'm going back to my nap. Why? Because He lived in that realm. He lived in that relationship with God that man was supposed to live in. Well, brother, I wish I could live there. Here's the problem. Most of you, you do live there. You just don't walk there yet. Hallelujah. A real ministry. Go with me to 3 John. A real ministry's excitement, a real ministry's rejoicing, isn't whether everybody pats you on the back. It isn't whether everyone receives you just, Brother Bram said it when he was setting up some of the officers. He said, now look, don't be a bunch of yes men. Sometimes that's what people want. As long as you just yes them everything, they say, oh, glory to God. And then you find somebody, it's the Ahab spirit all over again. As long as you say the right thing, glory to God, look at that servant, he's so mighty. I watch people do this to people, just flip the book. They talk to me about somebody, man, he's the greatest guy ever. And then hear him preach something, oh, I don't know about him, man. Oh, well, which is it? Right. Third John. It says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Talking about, this is a real elder now. This is a real pastor. This is a real man of God who said, I want more than anything to know that you prosper. Right. That you prosper, what? Spiritual things, just as your soul prospers and your body prospers. I want you to prosper. Why? Verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Even as thou walkest in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Sometimes we get so excited that, well, they you know, starting to come to church. That's good. But are they walking in truth? Amen. Well, they at least, you know, will deal with us. Are they walking in truth? Right. Oh, he's coming. He's paying his tithes. He does all these things. But really, at the end of the day, when he goes home, is he walking in truth? Right. Are you thinking, brother, sister? Right. Well, he says all kinds of good things about me. That's great. But does he walk in truth?
Right.
Brother, sister, we have a spiritual obligation. It's way beyond moral. God has taken the most precious word, it's literally himself, and deposited it to us. And here we are, benefactors of the greatest thing that's ever come to this earth. You say the greatest thing, Brother Branham said, the greater work shall you do. He said many times, I interpreted that as more, but the Lord has shown, created things from nothing. Hallelujah. If you get satisfied, well, I prayed for them and they got healed. That's great. But do they walk in truth? Right. Hallelujah. We ought to rejoice. We ought to thank God for everything he does. We ought to be careful to give him all the praise. Amen. But don't you put your crown on something on this side. It's on the things that are eternal. What would you rather see? Would you rather see 10 cripples get up and walk out of here get out of their wheelchairs, throw their crutches? Or would you rather see one sinner die right here at this altar and come up a son of God? Hallelujah! You see, you never see the angels rejoice because somebody got healed. When did they rejoice? When one real sinner came to the altar of God, not this place. I'm talking the throne in front of Almighty God. And laid their heart there until they died. And Christ was able to resurrect them back up. He said the angels rejoiced over that. Hallelujah. All these wonderful signs and miracles and gifts that we have that manifest, brother, sister, are all pointing to that true life. We got the gifts and we ought to appreciate them. When God gives us food, we ought to eat it. But at the end of the day, do you like the food? Do you serve God for the bread and the fish? Or do you serve him because of who he is?
Amen.
Is it because you love him and he loves you? Hallelujah. A real ministry, true ministry, I believe should only rejoice when he can look at the people and see that they themselves are believers. That they themselves walk in truth. That they themselves, even if they disagree, even if they fuss and fight, at the end of the day, they come back to the Word and walk in the truth that God has sent. Until then, I believe we've missed the mark. We've stopped short. We've come up early. And we've put our crown too fast. Do you understand why I'm saying crown of rejoicing? What is the crown? The crown is the thing at the very top that symbolizes what the whole thing is. And the crown of our rejoicing ought to be that Calvary redeemed man.
Amen.
Everything Adam lost was given back. You say, well, God haven't opened the seals. Christ opened the seals, brother. Brother Branham did not open the seals. Christ opened the seals. And in the day, that's why Revelation 10:7 is so important. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God would be finished. It had already been broke open. It already cried out. The thunder shouted. John heard it. He heard what the Lamb had opened. And he went to write. He said, stay your hand, John. Because when that seventh angel comes on earth, I'll let him say what I've already done revealed. Glory to God. That's why every age has had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but not every age can come to this true crown of rejoicing. Until this day, there will be a church walking as Jesus Christ made flesh again. And every spirit that tells you to settle less is Antichrist. Yeah. Hallelujah. God has given us a message in this last day that we are now sons of God. Yeah. And we are commanded to walk in our authority. We are commanded to take dominion of this earth again. When you go to testify, don't let the devil get you wrapped up. And, well, at least they did this. At least they did this. Wait until that soul's made right. Then you can have a real crown of rejoicing. Coming out of church order, I got a few quotes I want to read. But just this one line. Obviously, church order will be Sunday. But it's been a long prayer of mine. It's Brother Branham. And desire since a boy to see the church put in order and kept in order. Simple. It's simple, but man, it's harder to do than anything I've ever seen. I've even tried. You know, you bring things, try and say the same way. I respect every ministry. I hope you understand every man has a right to run his church the way he wants to. But I'm surprised on how many men of God, and I said men of God for a reason. I don't think they're of the world. How many men of God that believe this message don't consult it to make these decisions? Right. We ought to have our own personal revelation. We ought to have, or not personal revelation, but personal experience with God. But the Bible, we know, declares the revelation was given to the seventh angel. And we have no right to go off on our own revelation. We have to come back to that. A true man of God will always submit himself to the message of the hour. Amen. That's right. Every woman of God, every child of God will submit themselves to the message of the hour. Well, that's what I keep. Well, Brother Branham had opinions too. I understand that, brother, sister. Everything he said wasn't thus saith the Lord. He's a man just like you and I. But the voice that spoke this word, the revelation that came from this is the absolute. And if you deviate from that revelation of the hour, that Christ is now not just in the believer, but is manifesting himself the same today. He was locked in other church ages, but not in this day. The word has been unleashed. Glory to God. The word, this ought to be our crown. That every promise of the book, I can believe it. I can believe it. I can believe every day, no matter what happens, no matter what I do, no matter what anybody else does, I know I'm saved. Hallelujah. No matter what Satan tries to do to get me off the path, and maybe I do something wrong, something in me puts me right back on the path again. Glory to God. It keeps me sanctified. And anytime I feel like I just can't go on, a power rises up in me by the baptism of the Holy Ghost and keeps me on the straight and narrow. We've tend to forget that step. Without the Holy Ghost leading, you're just a theologian. The Holy Ghost is given to each believer to profit that wherewith and to walk in the Spirit as you've been given life in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Our crown of rejoicing ought to be every believer is able to walk in perfect faith. Once we get the idea of sin, that it's not, we always think of it as good and bad and right and wrong. We really need to bring it down to its fundamentals. It's faith and unbelief. Right. And when you recognize, you begin to doubt. I don't care what you did wrong, brother, sister. When you begin to doubt the promises of God, begin to doubt what God has done in your life, you're feeding on the wrong thing. And there's no way to get out of it. There's no way. And you're actually being prideful instead of humble. Because somebody that was humble, see, Judas was full of pride. He thought, he repented himself, but he was so full of pride, he never went to the man and asked for forgiveness. Hallelujah! That's like when you do somebody wrong. Uh-oh, here it comes. You tell God and you tell the neighbor and you tell everyone else, I'm sorry, but you ain't man enough to tell them. Right. You ain't repented yet. Right. That's right, brother, sister, and you ain't humbled yourself yet. Right. Or if you repent with, you know, I did that, but you didn't repent. Right. When the man came, the Pharisee said, you know, saw that publican laying there. The Pharisee had a whole list of things that he had done. And I caught that revelation when it says that the great shepherd, he put the sheep on this side and the goats on this side. What did the goats have to say? Everything they did. Yeah. I did this. I did that. I did this. I did that. And now I've watched even in our message. If you have a spirit of, I did this, I do this, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. You're only identifying with goats. Sheep don't got time to talk about what they're doing. So they really ain't smart enough to figure out what they're doing. All they know is there's a staff and a rod that leads them. And though it goes through the valley of the shadow of death, they don't fear any evil. Why? Because they just know better than to walk on my own. I done tried to walk on my own, led into all kinds of trouble. But I know that this shepherd that tells me where to go, that's the way I ought to go. So really, I ain't done nothing. All I did is do what he told me. How can you have any glory in that? Hallelujah. It's like people sometimes come to me and almost like I should be proud about being tall. I'm like, what do you mean proud about being tall? What? I have one thing to do with that. I was born that way. At least be proud of something I did do. Maybe I can kind of, you know, show some recognition. But I didn't do nothing to that. It's the same with the ministry, brothers and sisters. Same with the grace of God in our lives. We didn't do nothing for it. He did it all. Hallelujah. And our rejoicing ought to be the Lord didn't fail. Amen. But he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And that includes Laodicea. He whipped every devil from time to eternity and restored the sons of God. And I am, you are benefactors. Amen. That ought to be why we rejoice. I'm free from sin. Amen. I'm free to worship God without complex. Without, well, my sin, you know, I just still did it. It still hangs around here. Brother, sister, get free tonight. Amen. Calvary separated you from who you were. Amen. And this man was fake anyways. This is who you were. Glory to God. There will be a people believe that. That I was a son of God ever before I was a sinner. Oh, hallelujah. Hear ye him, 1960. Now, we don't want to stay in that place. The church ought to be 1,000 miles up the road farther than it is tonight. The Pentecostal blessings has been falling on the people here in America for 50 years. And if anything, we're dwindling instead of going on. What are you preaching such as this for, Brother Branham? I want to see the church of God in deep sincerity. I want to see the old-fashioned prayer meetings. I want to see them times when they can't leave church. They just stay all night and pray and fast and call out to God, call out till God answers. Instead of that, it seems like love has dwindled away from us. The love of God, just love. Why? A real Christian can hardly wait. When the bells ring, he's got the front seat and they're ready with the songbook in his hands. But now we say, oh my, I don't know. Now I do appreciate y'all. Most churches with this many people at this side be the back 3 rows filled with people and nobody in the front. So I thank the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. And I know Brother Bram talks about it, and I'll get to that on Sunday. I'm not trying to go that route. But about little kids and having to go in and out, you might just sit towards the back. I got that, brother, sister. But if you love the Lord, and especially you single brothers, praise the Lord, stay up here. Amen. Brother Dan's back there washing the door. Don't worry about him. Get to that on Sunday too. But hallelujah. Turn with me. Philippians. How many loves the Lord tonight? Amen. Philippians 2. Just right there at verse 1. Excuse me. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. What was his joy? Let's keep reading. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. I wish we'd apply that in our message, churches. Well, we got to do that because you know them. And really, I'm just saying it because I don't like them. But I'm going to go find his quote and stab him with it. Yep. That's through strife, brother. Well, bless God, I know better. I know better than the pastor. Hallelujah. He don't even know this. And I'm going to show it. I'm going to expose it. Brother, sister, it's okay for you to know something I don't know. But if it's through vainglory, how about you humble yourself and come tell me? Hallelujah. And I know why you're scared, because a lot of ministers don't want to hear it. I've gone to them in sincerity. Said, look, this is what the prophet said. This is what the Bible said. Well, I think that's okay. Okay. I'm going to say it's the same for any believer.
Right.
Well, I feel, I think, I don't care.
Right.
I feel and think all kinds of stuff. You know what I have to do with that? Bring that under subjection to the Word of God. Because no matter what I feel, no matter what I think, this is right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord. What's the same love? We love the Lord Jesus. We want Him glorified. We want everything done in the house of God to lift Him up.
Amen.
Amen. And once we all come with that same mind and that same love, not a doctrine, that same love. Did you come here because you love the Lord Jesus?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And fulfill ye my joy. Let nothing be done. Let me keep reading. To strive for vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. How does he close that thought? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And you can keep reading. Who was in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself like sinful man. Humbled himself to the death of the cross. Though he knew he was Lord from heaven, he came down and washed disciples' feet. Hallelujah. Peter in his pride tried to say, Lord, don't wash my feet. See, that's that involuntary humility. Real humility would have said, well, the master said, I'm going to let him do it. Well, that sister gave money. She don't have it. Remember that Brother Bram tried that with Hattie, right? He tried to humble himself, go give it back. What did the Lord say? He said, don't you do that. That's part of her worship. Amen. It says, look on things of others. Let each one esteem the other greater than themselves. You can't do that if you don't have the Spirit of God. Brother Branham said it this way. He said, a man can humble himself only so far. He can't get to where Christ is. Because about time he gets low enough, he's got to say something to build himself back up. Because he just can't handle being down there. But this life of Christ that comes to you as a believer can humble yourself under those. You say, well, I'm more spiritual than them. You'll still have a spirit that brings yourself under, even if you are.
Amen.
Uh-oh. Well, brother, I'm just lying about it then. Okay. Well, it's the same then when you cough and hack and saying, I'm healed. What's the difference?
Right.
See, we get kind of stuck in temporal time. The Word of God's eternal, brother, sister.
Right.
It's always true.
Yeah.
And this stuff that happens in time, look, this ain't eternal, brother, sister.
Right.
If you want to be real exact about reality, it's not even real.
Right.
The only thing that are real come from God. These things that have been perverted are going to be done away with. They don't have eternal life in them. They don't have eternal properties. But the sons of God were there from the foundation of the world. And they've got a life that supersedes everything that happens here. I don't care if you were the most prideful person in the world. If you really get the Holy Ghost, it can drive that man out and give you a man that can talk to the person that can barely serve the Lord. And you fast and pray and do all this, and they barely read the Bible, but can still say, man, I sure appreciate brother for what he does for the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm liking this. I'm getting a little bit of workout up and down. I kind of, a lot better than those three steps, Brother Ken. Punch you right in the face sometimes. Hallelujah. Let me read you a few quotes tonight. Identified Masterpiece of God, 1964. Brother Bram says, he says, politics don't belong in church. The Holy Ghost is to take the church over and not a political vote of who is who. God placed in the church some apostles, some prophets, some teachers and evangelists and pastors. Not men voted them in there. I've heard it in the message where they believe you can only be a pastor if you do get voted in. Hey, 64, by the way, just in case anybody was... Hallelujah. If a man started a work and a man passes away, I think the church has a right to vote on who takes over the flock. But when God starts a flock, He sends a man.
Amen.
Too many churches are known by the way they worship instead of the man that God sent and the word that's been brought from Him. Hallelujah. If a church is known by the name of the church, I have a hard time believing it's spiritual, because it's known by the character of the people.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And whether you want to or not, you say you're part of this church. Guess what? You represent every one of us here.
That's right.
I represent everyone here. We're all in this together. So when you go starting to doubt the word and starting to get your testimony messed up, just think of your brother and sister for a minute. Think about this prophet. Think about this message. What was Paul's glory? Ye, not just anywhere, but ye in the presence of Jesus Christ when he comes. Ye, not walking in things of the world anymore, but being ready for when he comes. I know my church is going. That's my crown of rejoicing. Hallelujah. And you don't get that through politics. You don't get that from voting. You don't get that. You know why you can't have votes all the time? Because people have opinions. And people base things on feelings. They'll vote one way this week, next week a different way. You've got to have spiritual leading of the Holy Ghost. Why do you think our democracy is starting to fall apart? Democracy only works so long until, and I've heard this quote, I can't remember where, but until the people realize they can vote themselves benefits from the national treasury. And the second the majority buys into that, they will vote for whatever gives them the most stuff. It happens every time because man has fallen. We won't have to worry about voting when we get to glory. We won't worry about changing political parties because there won't be none. There will only be one. That's right, and it won't be a political party. It'll be one body.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's why God's system did not invoke democracy.
Right.
It was a righteous king. Right. And God don't ask for us to give our votes about his word. Hallelujah, brother. Because you know what? I don't care. This whole church, and me included, well, any of us, we could all backslide in some crazy idea.
Right.
But if one man stands up and says, this is what the word said, that outweighs all our votes. And if you get a group of people to believe that, then I'll put a crown of rejoicing on top of that. Hallelujah. All right, let me keep reading. There was a reason I read this quote. It wasn't just for that. That was just the beginning. Not men voted them in there. God placed them in there by the calling of the Holy Spirit, prayer meetings, and laying on of hands, and staying before God. We need to make more decisions that way. But today, we have socialized our religion to a place. It's almost like politics itself, that we play it in all of our denomination. One can't point to the other one. We're all guilty. And there you find some genuine men and genuine women. But the trouble, what I'm thinking about, we're getting too much on the minority side, the genuine people that wants to believe and wants the power of God. There's too many brought in just by a social act. Well, this is a good man. He's a fine fella. We got good churches. We build good churches and better churches than we used to have. That's all right. There's nothing against that. I like to see the church prosper. But brother, I'd rather see it prosper in the power of the Lord than to prosper in the worldly things. Get back to the gospel again. Get back to the power of God. Get back to Pentecost like the original was. Hallelujah. Azusa Jubilee. 1956, and I'll close on this. It says, what a picture, what a time. Well, I don't want to keep you long, but I tell you, friends, what we need today is some good, old-fashioned, long-staying meetings. Why, back in them early days, when I read the books of early Pentecost, they preached all night, prayed all day. What a time that was. And while we've fallen away, God's just as willing to pour out His Holy Spirit on the audience today as He was at any other time through the age. God's got every rain barrel full if you've got a heart to receive it. That's right. Amen. We've seen signs and wonders. I thank God for all the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. I thank God for every person that speaks with tongues. I thank God for every person that interprets, every gift of healing, every prophecy, everything that God has done, every pastor, every evangelist, every member of His body. I thank God for it. But what we need today is a rededication, a coming together, a moving back to the old path. And brother, if we don't do it in another 50 years, we won't stand that long. But if we could stay another 10 years, what will it be if we don't come together right quick and get back to the old hue and lines again? Come back to the old-fashioned Azusa Street Pentecostal revival. We got to have it. If you could only think of how glorious the Lord Jesus Christ is to us, what he has done for us, how he's been long-suffering, not willing to answer prayers, but that all might come to repentance. And I think that's what I want to leave with tonight, brother, sister. We think about what we rejoice about, what we get happy about. If we'd ever come back to this real reality that Christ is not an idea. Christ is not a theology. Christ is not a book of ethics or doctrine. He's a person. Amen. And this person looked down on earth. Don't ask me why. But he picked you. He picked you. Picked you. Picked you. When there were millions of others, he picked you. He said, that's the one I want. What's the price I've got to pay? And he looked. Remember, the voice went, who's worthy to take this book? And John stood there, the prophet of the Lord, caught up in the Lord's day. He looked around. He said, I looked in heaven first because I thought, well, it has to be in heaven. And there was Moses there. He didn't get up there. I saw Elijah. He didn't move. I looked around. I said, oh, no. He said, then I looked at the earth. I said, well, maybe he's on earth still. Maybe he didn't die yet. Couldn't find him. Couldn't find him anywhere. So there's got to be someone. He began to get desperate. He said, is he under the earth? Where is he? Where is the one? Was about, he began to cry tears. It wasn't because, as Brother Branham said, not because he thought he was not worthy. It's because he recognized, we're done for. Right. It's all been in vain. Right. I've sacrificed. Look, he was 90 at this time. He'd given his whole life to this. Right. He had been on the Isle of Patmos. And what is he looking at? It's all for naught. I heard the angel. I heard what he said. And many people hear that cry in this day and never go on to hear the next one. Amen. This message brought judgment to the earth. Amen. Noah's message brought judgment to the earth. Amen. But don't forget what God said. He said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. And John stayed there long enough to hear the voice come. Oh, says, John, that's enough, boy. I'll let you suffer a little bit here in time. I'll let you go through that a little bit so you can learn something. That's why we're here, brother, sister. That's all it's for, just to learn a little bit. He don't want you to stay here. He's ready to take us. He says, weep not, John. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. Why couldn't John find him? Because it said he was in the midst of the throne. The one that pronounced the judgment was the one who took it upon himself. And he came out of the throne. God the Spirit became God the man. Yes. And willingly laid his life down. Why? Was it so you could just have healing? Was it just so he could speak in tongues and have a good shouting time? It's because he wanted you forever. Forever. And he looked at the price and he said, fine, I will pay it in full. I see him backslide there. I see him backslide there. Oh, I got to pay for that one. I saw what they say against brother so-and-so. I watched them walk out in the world for 10 years and come back. I look at them getting divorced, remarried, knew better. Can I say that tonight? I saw it, but I'll pay for it. Glory to God. Well, I didn't make that mistake. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Esteem each one greater. It takes a lot to be a real man and say, I've done messed this all up. But I don't know what else to do but to serve the Lord. I need to declare that to this world. Well, I fail. I do this. What? How are you going right not serving the Lord? Yet people will run out the back door. Oh, I done messed up. I done did this. Then I don't know how to fix it. I'm not here to fix it. I know the one that will, though. And as long as you leave his presence, it ain't never getting fixed. But if you'll come to him without any of your ideas and not just stopping short with some little temporal thing, I'm talking about something that hits the soul. I'm talking about a new life. There's a real baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't care how many substitutions we have, how many we've come up with this message, how many ideas and intellectualism. There is a real baptism of the Holy Ghost for every believer. There's a time to know I got it. I'm not the same anymore. That ought to be our crown of rejoicing. That my Lord loved me enough that when the price was too much for me to pay, too much for any man to pay, he paid it in full. God help us also to look at one another and say, Jesus thought just as much of them as he did of me. I don't care if you're better than them. I don't care if you serve the Lord more faithful, if you got better revelation. Brother, sister, the mind that was in Christ will never live that life. It'll bring you down and say, Lord, you can talk, like the song says, you can talk about me all you please. I'll talk about you on my knees. Not the self-righteous, you've got like a Pharisee, right? God help this publican, but no. Something in me that says, I used to be bound too.
That's right.
Lord, I knew what it was like. I don't want my brother to go through that.
Amen.
That's why the Bible tells the older men to teach the younger men, tells the older women to teach the younger women. Because you're supposed to have experiences that can be passed down.
Right.
As long as you stay out of it and let the Lord stay in it, it'll work.
Amen.
That's right, brother, sister. As long as you do it because you want them to prosper, we'll say it like this, even better than you.
Yep.
I say that as a pastor. I would much rather, you have to take my word for this, I would much rather watch this church walk in the presence of God and me not feel a thing. Me just to be in all kinds of confusion, not knowing where I'm at. I would much rather know that you know where you're standing.
Right.
And watch the power of God move through this place without me doing a thing than to come up here and have to dictate it every time.
Right.
That's what I envision, a church of the living God.
Amen.
Now we all have to buy into that.
Yep.
It says, don't buy me gold, you know, buy me gold tried in the fire. Tried by the word. That if the word is being preached and I've got the word in me, I have to be that church. I have to be that man of God that walks in the Spirit. I have to be that daughter of the King that knows His Lord's will and does it faithfully.
Amen.
God help us to put our crown where it belongs, on the redemptive cost, on the redemptive workings of Calvary. And God's voice that's coming this day, has it brought a new message? No, brother, sister. It's brought the same one. That the same love that He showed us, we ought to show one another. God bless you. Let's stand together tonight. Hallelujah. If you don't know this little chorus, 277. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove. How many believes His presence is with us tonight?
Amen.
Amen. How many just wants to worship Him,
yes,
adore Him, love on Him?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's take some time now. The word's come forth. Let's take some time to let our praise water the word we've received, to fall away from everything else and recognize I'm in heavenly places. I'm with my Lord Jesus that I love, and I want to worship Him with all my heart.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's start from the beginning.
Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, oh, stay right here with us, oh, filling us with
prayer tonight. Believe it with all your heart. Yes, Lord.
Sweet Holy,
lift your voices now. Oh, let Him hear it.
Oh, sweet.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Right tonight, yield yourself to the Spirit. Just yield to Him now. Raise your hands and worship.
Oh, sweet Holy Spirit.
Yes, Heavenly Father.
Oh, sweet Heavenly Father.
Blessed be his name tonight. With all your heart.
To be a sanctuary.
With all faith. Don't be doubting. Believe it. Believe what you're singing tonight.
Oh, pure and holy. Light and truth. And with thanksgiving.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I'll be.
Yes, Father. Thankful for your grace. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, sanctuary for you.
Is that, plays that again.
Let's bow our heads for a moment.
I want you to take the real thought. That God wants you to have the Holy Ghost more than you want to receive it. Saying, God wants you to live in heavenly places more than you want to. God wants you to prosper more than He wants to prosper. He's the best Father the world's ever known. And He wants His children to prosper more. Don't let the devil come by and say, oh no, he wants to give everybody but you a baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight. He came to fill everyone but you, because the Lord knows what you did yesterday. That's true, brother, sister. He does know. You got faith to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. I believe with all my heart, brother, sister, and I trust you believe this too, that we are in fellowship with Christ. We have a spirit that abides. When you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, you're His. He abides with you. He abides in you. He goes with you no matter where you are. If you make a mistake, brother, you got a chance right then and there when you recognize it to confess it. And if you'll do that and not doubt it, your fellowship will never be broken. Glory to God. But if you go and you got excuses why you did what's wrong, if you go and doubt the Lord and say, well, I guess I wasn't saved, then you ain't going to feel no fellowship. You got to settle that right now. That theology needs to get out. It's not in the message of the hour. God don't give the Holy Ghost. He's not an Indian giver. He don't give the Holy Ghost and then take it away. Amen. And if you're running empty, that is not His will. Hallelujah. Jesus, when He was tempted of the devil, was led by the Spirit to go and be tempted 40 days. Even when God allowed His Son to be tempted, the Holy Spirit was there guiding you. You going to tell me God's going to do something with you? When He went to Calvary, what led Him there? Hallelujah. Now I want your faith to take rest in that tonight. There's too many of us still back and forth. Can't even look up to God like you're afraid of Him. Why are you afraid? Is He still a stranger? Oh, brother, sister. Don't let the devil paint a picture that ain't real. Why do you love Him? What does the Bible say? What's the absolute say? What did it say before all eternity? You love Him. Hallelujah. Because He first loved you. In His presence now, I believe God's just inviting us individually to that real walk with Him. That we would take our affections off the things of this life and put them on those things above. You know what? A lot of times it causes you to have to sacrifice what you have in this life to have those treasures in the world to come. Got to get out of your comfort zone a little bit. Got to get away from, well, I always thought this way. Well, if it ain't the Word, then you need to die to that. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be his name. And that's not a defeat, brother, sister. That's victory.
Yeah.
It's victory. You're not bound no more. Hallelujah. That doesn't throw out your rest of your life. Praise God. He never lost you. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there any heart here just says, Lord, I got a heart big enough to receive your spirit tonight. I got a heart big enough to receive that presence in my life. Lord, I want to be right with you. Lord, I want to be pleasing in your sight. And I believe you, Lord, tonight, that you want me to have this more than I want to receive it. Oh, glory. Now think that way. Believe that way. I'm trying to help you, brother, sister. You keep reverting back to, well, I got to do this, I got to do that, and then God will think I'm good enough. That's why you're not getting nowhere. You can't think like that. He already paid for it. He paid it, and now he's handing it to you tonight. That ain't me handing it to you. I can't do a thing for you. But the Spirit of God that is here is handing you healing tonight. Hallelujah. Receive it now. Don't wait for something else. Don't wait for some emotion. Believe that. Give God praise for it. You sick in body, receive it tonight right there. Hallelujah. What is our crown of rejoicing? My crown is to watch people get out of that death cycle of bad, good. I'm bad, I'm good. I'm bad, I'm good. Get off that and get onto God's predestinated plan.
Amen.
That I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad, but he was awful good. And he has taken me off where I was and put me where he is. Not putting me there. I'm put there now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Anyone here just want a fresh pouring out from God tonight? God bless you, brother, sister. Receive it then. Receive it. Why wouldn't you tonight? That's the better question. Not why would you. It's why wouldn't you? What advantage do you have not getting poured the Spirit of God poured on you tonight? Glory to God. Anybody need joy tonight? Receive it. Why don't you go ahead and confess that? Why don't you go ahead and let your face smile? Say, Lord, I'll smile because though the world fall apart, the Word in me can. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, blessed Jesus. Brother, sister, take a moment. Your own way. Let's lift up a real worship to him tonight. Thank you, blessed Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for your Spirit being here tonight. Thank you for being a present tense of God. For caring about me, Lord. For watching over me. Oh, hallelujah. For defeating my enemies on every side. When the devil come, you'd be there to help me through. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you for healing me when I was sick. Thank you for providing for me when I didn't see a way out. Glory to God. Lord, I thank you for all your blessings. I thank you more than anything for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's real worship. Come on, let your faith rise. That you really are in heavenly places. That you've been invited into the King's presence. There used to be an angel kept people out. Now there's been an angel come to drive you back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, blessed be his holy name tonight. Blessed be his holy name. What a sweet spirit. This is why we came. Father wanted us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's do that. Worship him with all your heart tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing that little song. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. Ooh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one mind, one accord. We're all here to praise him. Sing and blessed be the name. Oh, blessed be the name. Lift him up, brother, sister. Oh, blessed be the name. Let's glorify his great name tonight. Thank you, Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. Oh, so we lift up holy hands in one accord. Oh, sing. blessed be the name. Oh, blessed be the name. And blessed be the name of the Lord. Lift your voices tonight. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. One last time without music. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. How many loves him tonight?
Yes.
Amen. He's worthy of all praise.
Yes.
How many's on your way to Canaan's land?
Amen.
Amen. It's 3:26. I'll let you be dismissed on this tonight. You love him with all your heart.
Amen.
Amen. It's been good to be in God's house. Remember, Sunday church order. Hallelujah. Meetings next month. I got it over there. We'll get all the stuff on the walls here short, right, Brother Dan? Amen, brother. No, I appreciate the trustees, all they got done, and they're doing. Probably eventually get all you sisters to come here and hang this stuff on the walls, all right? Tell us where this stuff goes. How many loves the Lord tonight?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. With all your heart.
I'm on my way to Canaan's land.
Hallelujah.
I'm on my way. Praise God. I'm on my way.
Sing it for yourself. I'm on my way.
I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way.
If my brother don't go,
if my brother don't go,
I'll go on.